that created us, the word that sustains us, and through Jesus Christ redeemed us. Help us to still our minds and open our hearts to that word right now, so that we may grow and live in you. Amen. And our scripture reading for today is Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Matt. You know, that's the kind of psalm that once you start reading it, you just want to keep reading like six more verses because it's rich and it's full. It's, you know, Psalm 100 is actually, I think, as I talk, listen to people, right up there. It hasn't reached it, but, you know, you think of the favorite psalms that people have. It really is right up there with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I think those two out of the 150 really rank for people in general as their favorite psalms. In fact, you see the thing on the screen there, that's, you look in your Bible, and that's exactly what the subscription is there. It says a psalm for giving thanks. It's the only one in all 150 that's so labeled. Now, there's lots of other psalms that have elements of thanksgiving in them. But this is the only one that's worded in this fashion. And it's almost like the author is, you know, when we, and I felt this, Matt, when you were saying, the author is saying, okay, you want to thank God? Okay, listen to me. I'm going to show you how to do it, right? And so I was waiting for verse 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10 because, you know, to really deeply enter into giving thanks to the Lord. Well, this morning, in the time that I have, it's just the prayer of my heart that the Holy Spirit will come and teach us through these five verses how to give thanks to God, how to truly thank the Lord. The first four verses have seven imperatives. It's like the teacher is at work here teaching us. It's like we got a how to give thanks to God, how to worship God manual. Not 10 easy steps. It's not like that, and I don't even have 10, but there's seven here of just really, I'm going to call them deep imperatives, invitations, as it were, to come and give thanks to God. And the first one is to shout. That's an imperative. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Now, when we gather to worship God on Sunday, as we have this morning, shouting with joy is never, shouting with joy to the Lord, I mean, it's never to be far from our lips and from our hearts. There's to be energy, there's to be life here in our midst and shouting to God. But you know, I'm not that much different, I think, than most folks in this. If someone actually, on a Sunday morning, shouted, I think I might be tempted to turn around and, what's wrong with them? You know, like that kind, because we're not used to that kind of thing. But the psalmist encourages us to do that. The verse tells us that there really is something wrong with us. If we know who God is, and we know what God has done for us, and we can't, and we don't open our lips. We don't open our mouths to be able to sing God's praise. Opening our mouths in worship to give thanks to God, that's the default. All this natural, you know, response there's to be in our lives to pour out our thanks and our praise to God. It's the overflow of our heart. Shout it out in song is really what the psalmist is saying there. We're to let the air be filled with the shouts of joy, thanksgiving, and praise to God. The next one is serve. Now, in the translation that Matt read, and in fact, in most translations, worship is the one that's used. Worship the Lord with gladness. But serve is really a synonym for worship. We're to, I'm going to say it like this. When you understand yourself to be serving, you get it that you're a participant in what's going on. So you come to a worship service. You know, just because you've come to a worship service doesn't mean that you actually worship. I don't know if you knew that. I mean, you can come. I've had these occasions. You can come to a service of worship and just be an observer of what's going on. Now, you may appear spiritual. You may have the religious face on and everything. But you can just simply be an observer of worship and not a participant in worship on that particular Sunday morning. But you are here, we are here, really to offer to God a heaping full plate, if I can put it like that, of our gladness, our thankfulness, our joy, the real sense of life that we have because God has so deeply blessed us and provided for us. I'm getting ahead of myself. I guess when it fell to the floor, it brought that one up. But come would be the next one. God invites us to come to times such as this. I don't know, haven't got a clue, and I don't think the pollsters do either, who is going to be the Prime Minister of Canada after the election coming up a week from tomorrow. But I have no question about this. I don't think in any way whatsoever that I am going to get an invitation to come to the swearing-in ceremony for the Prime Minister, whoever that may be. I don't think any one of us is going to get that here this morning either. But what we do have, and it's something really larger and better, it's an invitation to come and to worship the Lord. Now, what I'm going to say here is really, I think it's important. I thank God. Wow, Sunday by Sunday, I thank God for the praise team. I thank God for Matt's leadership of the praise team. I thank God for a meal at 11 o'clock and the leadership that he's giving to the choir. But get this, the praise team and Matt, Emil and the choir, they're not worship entertainers, okay? I have to watch myself here because I was going to use a different word and the praise team corrected me on this. I was going to say they're exhorters and Sean said, what, we're extorters? No. They're not entertainers, but what they are is encouragers. That's who they are. They're up front. They're leading us, and with every breath, with every word that they sing, every note in the instrument, what they're saying is, "Come on, come on, come on, join with us." They're encouraging us to release that song of praise and thanksgiving and joy to God. The next one, number four, is to know. And when we bring our joyful songs of thanksgiving and worship to God, we're not just doing it, and I'll date myself, B.J. Thomas, hooked on a feeling, right? I thank God there's emotion in what's going on and taking place, but it's so much more than that. We've come to know that God is God and God alone. I'm not, you're not. God is God alone, and he's revealed himself to us. You heard Matt expressing this in prayer. He's revealed himself to us through Jesus Christ, the living Word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to the triune God, we're not talking about a minority government, okay? I mean, God and God alone is on the throne. God is there and God alone is the one who lives and rules. And we belong to this God. The scripture says here that we are God's people and God cares for us. He looks after us. Brings to mind for me Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. And even though I go through the deepest and darkest valley, even the valley of the shadow of death itself, God is with me, and the Lord will not forsake me. And I've come to know that. And it's not just the mental knowledge of that. It's that here in worship, we acknowledge that. We sing it out. We shout it out. We turn our knowing and our understanding into worship and thanksgiving to God. And then there's this marvelous word, enter. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Now, sometimes it's not like that for me when I come to Knox on a Sunday morning to worship, because sometime I'm dragging myself in here with an attitude. And sometimes, and it's not anything that, because I'm pretty good as a pastor at the whole appearance thing, right? It's not like you can see it, but let me show you what it looks like. Okay. And you don't see it, but this is what it really looks like. And I'm here, and I'm really waiting for something to happen for me. I'm waiting for something to take place. I mean, I'm upset, I'm grumpy, I'm irritable. I'm waiting for something to take place that's going to enable me to enter into what it is that's going on here, to open my mouth for me, to get me singing and get me in the mood and help me to worship. But you know, that's not what this psalm talks about at all, because it talks about that, you know, I'm to enter here with this spirit, this sense that here in this place I get to give thanks. I mean, coming in here, for the life of me, this is dead wrong. This isn't how I'm to enter. I'm not to come with a mind that's not made up about why I'm here. I come to give thanks to God. I'm here to open up my life in every conceivable way possible, to give God my all, heart open, mind open, mouth open, life open, to give thanks to God. And finally, it finishes it off to bless his name. And again, I say I love what our worship leaders, Matt, Emil, offer us, but I should not need Matt. I shouldn't need the praise team to do their best to get me singing when the time comes in just a few moments and we sing that song, What Shall I Fear? Whom Shall I Fear? I shouldn't need them. I'm thankful for them. I'm glad for them. I bless God that they're here to be encouragers, but, you know, I should be ready to let everything that is on the inside of me come on the outside of me when the first note is struck. I'm set to go. To enter into his courts with thanksgiving, to give thanks and to bless his name. Well, the question comes, why do all of that? And that's answered in verse 5. Because I understand this, I've lived this too, that sometimes you can come here and I can come here and I just don't feel it, right? I'm here, but you know, I probably got pushed here by my wife, or I'm here. But the question becomes, why bother? I mean, there's ugly stuff, nasty stuff, hard stuff, difficult stuff going on, in life. There may be even for some here this morning. But why? Why worship when I don't feel like there's any reason or cause for me to worship God, to give my thanks to God? Well, verse 5 ends by giving us really three, I'm going to call them very important reasons to do that. I'll never forget it. It was a decade and a half ago, maybe 20 years ago. But my cousin's son had just lost his wife and their unborn child in a tragic car accident, terrible thing in Cambridge. And the service, memorial service, was held in a large church there. There were about 700 people that were gathered there. And my cousin's son said this with tears in his eyes. He was weeping almost uncontrollably, but he stood before the 700 people and he said, "God is good all the time." And then he said, "All the time, God is good." And he wasn't saying it as a cliche. it had been for him and it had been for his wife. They weren't new phrases. Reality, truth, and life. They've been statements for them about the character of God. And right in the very middle of the worst conceivable thing that could happen, that you could imagine in one's life, and no faking, no appearance put on, I mean, fully visible, the way that he was distraught at the loss of his wife and unborn son, able to say, in effect, with God, there's no spot, there's no flaw, there's no blemish. God's good, right here, right now, God's good, through and through. Secondly, the unfailing love of the Lord that continues forever. I like to say, even more than the steadfast love or the unfailing love, I think the word that catches it for me is the loyal love of God, because God is not going to change his mind about me. God is not going to change his mind about you. God has this unchanging mind about us. Now, we may have a changing mind about God. I understand that. Sometimes we can wander and we can drift and we can fall back, but that never happens from God's side of the equation. God is good and God is loyal forever. And no matter what the life situation is that we find ourselves in, this is something we can really hang our, forgive me the American analogy, our pilgrim hat on, right? Or what we can live by this, that God is loyal in his love to us. The unchanging mind of God about you is love, and that's forever. And no matter the twist, no matter the turn in life that you face, you have God on side with you. The scripture says, Romans chapter 8, right at the very end, verse 30-31, there's nothing whatsoever that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And lastly, maybe the praise team could come up. The faithfulness of God to all generations. It's 40 years ago this past spring that the principal of Regent College and the University of British Columbia, James Houston, wrote me a note. And in the envelope and the note that he wrote to me was really what he wanted to be, a life verse for me. And I've hung on to it ever since. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. 4 decades later, I remember that. That God is faithful and God will keep his promises. Why give thanks to God? Why give thanks to God? Because God is good. Because God is loyal. Because God is faithful. Gordon MacDonald wrote an article in Leadership, the Leadership Journal. He tells the story about taking his grandson. His grandson was 3 at the time, and he took him to all places. I don't know that I'd take any of my grandchildren here, but he took his grandson to Chuck E. Cheese and took him there to enjoy the pizza and have fun on all of the noisy rides. And when the evening had ended and they were taking their grandson out of the place and into the car, his grandmother, Gail, buckled the little boy into his car seat and said to him, "Now you be sure to thank Papa for taking you to Chuck E. Cheese." And there was silence. There was no reaction whatsoever. And she said again to him, "Did you hear me? Be sure to thank Papa. You need to say thank you to Papa for taking you here." And again, there was just silence. Now, Gordon was in the front seat, and he was pretending not to listen to the conversation, but he heard exactly what was going on. He wanted to ignore it, but then he changed his mind. He wasn't going to ignore it any longer, and he turned around, and he said to his grandson, "You know, Papa really enjoys doing nice things for you, and it's really important when you have a nice thing that I do for you to say thank you." And there was still silence. And Gordon MacDonald says he was starting to get a little bit irritated about this point, and he said, "Did you hear what I said? it's really important to say, thank you. Did you hear, Papa? And the little boy goes, uh-huh. But still no thank you. Nothing like that coming out of his lips. And now Gordon MacDonald says he really got upset. And his voice started to elevate itself, you know, like that. And he said to him, are you ignoring me? And then the response came back from his grandson. I'm thankful, Papa. I just don't want to say it. With God, God never gets upset. He never gets upset. But what there is with God is this unchanging mind about you. His heart, goodness towards you, his loyal love to you, his faithful heart for you. And he never gets upset when you come like me sometimes. But what he's looking for, really eager to see take place and happen in us, is to get it. And particularly on this Thanksgiving Sunday, to let it out, to let it out. The encouragers are here. To let it out. To let this joyful expression of your thanks and your gratitude to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Okay, encouragers, encourage us.
We would like to encourage you to stand.